The Bible tells us here, it says the attitude that we're to have, it says don't trust in those uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Do you believe that scripture? It's in the Word of God, loved one.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. Now, Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy today. Pastor has titled this next message, The Right Attitude About Money. Now, Pastor Bill.
We're going to talk this morning about one of your favorite subjects again, and that is money. Amen? Yeah. And so remember now, we left off the last time, and I talked about the truth about money. And this morning, we're going to talk about the right attitude about money. And you know, last time when I left off, I was gone, had a wonderful time at Calvary Amarillo, just a great, great church. And when I did leave off a couple of weeks ago, remember that as we're closing out chapter 6, Paul is now bringing, really everything full circle, if you will. He's like ending chapter 6 the way he began. We found that out the last time I was with you. And that he was commanding, or rather telling us about the false teachers, that they were pretending to be godly for financial gain. In other words, they were lovers of money. And we're going to move from the lovers of money and so forth to the command that those who have riches and the attitude, the right attitude that they are to have. Now, here's what's going to happen. If your mindset doesn't get right now on about what we're going to learn, you won't get these few verses. So we have to understand, if we have the right mindset, we have to have it about wealth, about money, about riches, and so forth. Now, you might even believe this morning that the command there in verse 17 that I just read doesn't apply to you, doesn't apply to me or whatnot. You might even say that you're not rich. I can assure you that if the Ephesians could look forward and see us today, would they consider us to be very wealthy? Absolutely. Loved one, listen to me. We are rich. We are rich. And that's the problem with so many believers and the world today. Listen to me. Listen to these statistics. Almost half of the world survives on less than $2.50 a day. Not only that, 10% of the world survives on less than $1.90 a day. Think about that. 70% of the world's poorest people live in Africa. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a car? Does your car have AC? Oh, wow. Do you have automatic windows that roll up? Did you take a hot shower this morning? I pray you did. Are you following me? Did you sleep in a bed last night? Did you have anything to eat this morning? We're rich, aren't we? We're overflowing. We are wealthy. We're a wealthy people. You know, the World Vision says this, that in America, 34 million people live in poverty, meaning that they make about $35.28 per day. But even though that is a statistic, they're actually richer than anyone in the world, in a sense. Does that make sense? Now, let me give you an example. You know who Elon Musk is, or Elon, whatever his name is? Now, is it Elon? Whatever his, E. Musk, okay? Okay, he is worth, I just read it yesterday, here it comes. He's worth $209 billion. He's the richest man in, I think, the world, okay? I don't know that, but maybe I'm wrong. But here's the deal. Let me read it to you, because I did some math. $1 billion equals 1,000 million. Now, how long does it take to spend $1 billion? You ever thought about that? How long does it take? $1 billion. Now, let me just give you a statistic. It says, imagine if someone gave you only $1 million and told you to spend $1,000 every day and come back when you ran out of money. You would return with no money left in 3 years. 3 years. Now, if someone gave you $1 billion and you spent $1,000 each day, you would be spending for 2,740 years before you ran out of money. That's how much $1 billion is. Now, with all of that being said this morning, I pray that you get the right attitude about money beginning in verse 17. Look at the fifth and final command there of Paul to Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Now, what does that mean, not to be haughty? It means don't be proud. Don't lift yourself up. The word literally means don't be high-minded. Don't have a high, exalted opinion of yourself. And you know what? Can wealth do that? Sure it can. You know, wealth gives you security and power, but it's a false security and it's a false power. Now, listen, to be prideful for a believer, to be prideful because you are rich, you know what that means? It means you do not know where your riches or your money or your paycheck comes from. Does that make sense? You don't know. You see, everything that we have comes from Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:22, it talks about this. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. It's God's blessing, not the world's blessing. It's God's blessing. And then he says, and he adds no sorrow to it. I love that part. How about this one? Whenever the children of Israel, when they were about to go into the promised land, what did Moses tell them, what God commanded? He said, don't you think, in Deuteronomy 8:17, he said, I'm paraphrasing, don't you ever say that by my power and by my might and all your hard labor that you've acquired this wealth, for it is the Lord God who gives you the power to get wealth. Amen? And it's always God. He's the one who provides everything we need. And see, pride because of possessions is really a sign of immaturity on the part of the believer, especially if you're going to boast about it. The Bible tells us if we're going to boast about anything, in Jeremiah 9:23, he says, if you're rich, he says, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him boast or brag about this, that he understands me, saith the Lord, and that he knows me. Amen? Boy, that's what we should be bragging about. Now, listen carefully. Every believer must learn to master money. It's a learning process in your life. If you don't, it will finally end up mastering you. I hate debt. Do you hate debt? Let me say something before I continue. I love you, but listen to me now. You have to treat debt as an enemy. Now, I don't mean, oh, well, I bought a home. Okay, we'll try to get it paid off quickly. Amen? But if your credit card debt goes crazy, then you're going to be in bondage because it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. I borrowed all this. No. You know, whenever we bought this church, we paid this thing off as quickly as we could because the bank wouldn't give the loan to the church to pay it off. I had to sign for it, and I didn't have any money, so I had to go get other people to help sign too. Aren't you glad we're debt-free? And we've been debt free for over 25 years. We don't go into debt. Amen. Oh, and don't you either. Now, Bill, get out of my business. Okay. But I don't want to be servant to, I don't want to be servant to a bank. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, if you don't get your handle on your money, listen to what Jesus said. No servant can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one, love the other. He will either be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. This is two masters. One tells you to walk by faith. The other tells you to walk by sight. You follow me? We don't want to be servant to that at all. The word serve there has to do with our will and our attitude. It demands our devotion. Now, Jesus said that we cannot serve God and mammon. That means there's no compromise. I don't want to be conformed, and you don't either, to the materialistic values of the world that we live in. Amen? No, we don't want that. So he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be filled with pride. Don't be haughty, high-minded. He says, nor, look at this attitude, nor trust in uncertain riches. You know, today in our world, we have many gifted financial planners and advisors, and that's not a bad thing at all. But the truth of the matter is that I believe the best financial planner in the world is the Word of God. Is the Word of God, just doing what God says. It's all laid out right there in Scripture. And Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. So keep your eye on God. And yeah, okay, keep your eye on what you have as well. But the fact of the matter is that wealth can be wiped out in a blink of an eye. Amen? It says in Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? In other words, it just goes away. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven, meaning they're gone in a flash. You know, the epitome of evil, meaning the love of mammon, is going to take place, or wealth, riches, in the Great Tribulation period. Remember when Babylon finally falls and all of that, and they're being destroyed there? It says in Revelation 18:14, it says, oh, the fruit of your soul lusted for, meaning riches, have gone from you. And all the things which are rich, and all the things which are splendid, have gone from you. They've taken wings, in other words, and just taken off. And you shall find them no more at all. Revelation 18:17. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Boy, that's what's going to happen at the end. See, we can't trust in uncertain riches. Amen? No, the Bible tells us here, it says, the attitude that we're to have, it says, don't trust in those uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Do you believe that scripture? It's in the Word of God, loved one. Listen, God provides, everything God provides us, He provides richly. Did you know that? Yes, all true enjoyments in this world have their source in God our Father. And I can tell you that God provides more financial security than anyone else in the entire world. Amen? Now, my question is, are you enjoying the riches that God has provided for you? You know, the Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you. Ecclesiastes 5:19, for every man to whom God has given riches and given wealth and given him power to eat of it. Boy, that's a good word. You know, just if you imagine yourself a billionaire, but you're so miserable, you're so lonely, you're so empty. You turn to this to live and you turn to that for living, and it all always leaves you empty. God says here, for every man to whom God's given riches and wealth, He's given them power to eat of it, to receive His heritage and rejoice in His labor. Now listen, this is a gift from God. Amen? Let me give you another one. Psalm 50, verse 10. Every beast of the field, God says, is mine. All the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. All the birds of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field, they're mine. God says to the people, to Israel, to us, He says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Do you know, and let's not only the world, but the entire universe, all things belong to God. You know, the Webb telescope, the thing that's just new right now, y'all familiar with that? Okay, now, I don't know if you noticed in the paper or maybe if you read your iPad, wherever it comes, you get your news from. It had that first picture of the galaxies, you know, and I was reading about that. And they said, here's how you need to understand it. If you took one grain of sand and put it in your hand and held it out from you, that would be what you're looking at right now in the universe. That photo of all those galaxies. Do you see how gigantic, unbelievably, all the universe is? Well, you know what? Who owns that? God. I think He can take care of us, don't you? Yes. So the living God, it says, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, which means this, our attitude, if you really believe that, our attitude should be one of thanksgiving unto God. Listen, everything we have here, everything I have and you have, even the breath that we're breathing, God has given unto us. Think about that. The Bible says in Job 12:10, it says, in whose hand, meaning in God's hand, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Acts 17:25, God gives life to all things, breath. And so, you know, it's not a sin to be rich. I hope you don't think that. It's not a sin to be rich at all. Did you know the word enjoy, if you would look that up in your dictionary, you know what enjoy means in the Greek? It means to take pleasure in something. God says, I want you to enjoy all the things that I have given unto you. You know, listen, do you have a boat? Why? I hope you're not feeling guilty about it. You can invite me. I'll pastor you out there, and I'll counsel you, get you through this. You know, as long as you have that little, you know, shade or something for me. Do you have a swimming pool? Do you feel guilty? Do you never tell people you have a swimming pool? Why would you do that? Are you able to have new cars every 3 years? I don't like you at all, but no, I'm joking. Come on. Do you understand? I mean, you have a beautiful home and all those things. Okay, well, praise the Lord. God gave it to you. Why don't you enjoy it? Now, let me preface now. Never, never, ever, I learned this. Never feel guilty about what God has given unto you, no matter what anyone says to you. Never, ever feel guilty about all that God has given. If you're a good steward, you follow me. Yes. Oh, listen, but don't ever trust in uncertain riches. Trust in the living God who has given you richly all things to enjoy. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. You know, wealth can either be the Christian servant or vice versa. That's what I always pray. Man, listen, being rich is not a sin, but let me tell you what it is. It is a great responsibility. Having funds is a great money, a lot of money, or just having any money, it's a great responsibility. So how do we express our thanks unto God who gives us richly all things to enjoy? How do we express our trust to God who has given us richly all things to enjoy? Look at verse 18. He says, let them do what? Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Let them do good. The word do good, even though you see it throughout the New Testament, this phrasing here is only found right here in the New Testament. So it means do what is noble and do what is excellent in your life. Why? Well, God says, I want you to be rich in good works. Listen, good works are filled with power. Did you know that when you do them for God? They're powerful. Loved one, they change people's lives. Do you know that the world sees you? The Bible tells us this in Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see with their eyes your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what makes our light shine? It's when we do good works for God. In other words, that's when God is glorified. Now, to not do good for the believer means you are out of the will of God. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, that this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence, or that word means muzzle, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. Number one, we are commissioned by God. When we're in His will is you go out and you do good. And not only that, it says it should muzzle foolish people. They should be so stunned by what believers do, what the church does, that it just blows them away. Matter of fact, they can't even speak. It puts a muzzle on them. They're silenced by our good works. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with good. Do you know the devil, the wicked one, Satan, he is the enemy of all that is good. He hates good. He hates us to do good. And how do we conquer evil? We just heard it. We conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12:9 says, to cling or glue or cement yourself to what is good. John writes in 3 John 11, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Here it comes. "He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Do you know that when we do good, we do what God tells us to do? Do you know that is well-pleasing in His sight? And think about that, that we can please God by doing good. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 13, 16, where it says, "But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices," and sometimes it is a great sacrifice, it says, "God is well pleased." In Acts 10, 38, remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Are we to do the same? Is God with us?
Yes,
He's with us. Is the Holy Spirit in us?
Yes.
Do we have giftings?
Yes.
Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in Him, meaning the Lord, if we say we live and dwell in the Lord, then we should walk even as He walked. In other words, wherever we go, we should free people through the Word of God and the power of God. Amen? We should save people. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity," that word means an open door that God opens for you. You didn't open it, God opens it. "Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all," the Bible says. That means everyone, those in Christ, those outside of Christ. But then He says, especially those that are of the faith. So He says, don't just do good to your friends and your families. How about everyone? Be good to those. And listen to me, it doesn't take a certain level, that's the deception, a certain level of income to do good. Do you know that? I mean, do you have to be rich to make some cookies to take over to someone? No, or visit someone, or call someone. Does it take, you see what I'm getting at? It doesn't take that at all. You'll never do good works if you're preoccupied with what you do not have, loved one, believe me. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are in Christ, and since we are, we were created for good works before time began, and that we should walk in them. So good works should be the lifestyle of the believer. That should be our attitude. Matter of fact, you could go through the whole Bible, you'll find out that we should be zealous for good works. That's over in Titus, I believe. That we should maintain good works. That not only that we should be fruitful in good works, that we've been thoroughly equipped, it says, by the Word of God for every good work, and be fruitful and so forth. And you know, you have to remember that God says you are a good work. Amen? So you know what we do? When you follow the good shepherd, you'll do good things to others. It's just that simple. Now look at it. Let them do good. We've learned that one. What is another attitude? It says that they be ready to give. You like that word? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. What does that mean? It means to be generous. It says ready to give. Be generous. Be bountiful in your giving. Luke 6:38, "Give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over into your bosom. And it is with the measure that you measure out, it'll be measured right back to you." What an incredible promise, amen? Yeah, you know, Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, "Watch lest prosperity destroy your generosity." That is a true word. And then he says, "Willing to share." The word share, we get our word, remember in Greek, koinonia, like the Koinonia Cafe, meaning a place of intimacy. You see that someone has a need and it's a real need, not ripping you off and all of that. And you share with them. You go in fellowship with them and you say, you know what, I feel the Lord wants me to help you. So you're ready to give. You're willing to share. You know, today you shared. I pray you were generous. Today's Love Never Fails Sunday. You know, it's all about giving. And and we don't ask for money. Have you ever noticed that we don't ask for money here? Now we do today, amen. But 100% of what you gave, where does it go? It goes to Mexico. It doesn't go here. It goes right there. That's for full support. 100% goes there. Even when the mission team leaves, it doesn't come out of the Mexico account. You understand? Yeah, that money is 100% sowed into the orphanage, the work that we do there.
That's all the time we have for our study today, but we encourage you to tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will complete today's message. May the Lord bless you today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.